How was week one of NFL football action for you, huh? Show me on the doll where it hurt the most. We have no time to cry over spilled milk. If you didn't do well, if you did, we don't have no time to gloat. Week two is here already. I'm your host, Ralph. This episode, we're going to cover housekeeping, things that we need to go over from last week, our picks, what we got right, what we got wrong, DFS picks, and then we'll just keep it moving. Would you rather reload DFS like usual? So let's hop into it.
Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process.
Housekeeping. First up, we got to talk about the things that we missed because that's a part of credibility, right? You can't come say you're an analyst or trying to be an analyst or that you have been analyzing and you only talk about the things that you got right, then I no longer believe you. You've lost credibility. If we're talking about the NFL game, guys, sometimes you're going to be right. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. You're playing the most rational outcomes, though, is the best way I can put it. So a part of that has to be, if we have this episode that I'm usually trying to do in less than an hour, how do I not waste your time, get you the new information for this week, but also come to terms with what we did right and wrong? This is how we do it. So let's clean up house really quickly. Missed on Dallas altogether last week, guys. If you listen to the show, I assumed that they would start slow because they had no starters play in all of preseason camp, and boy, did they show me. Not only did Dallas not start slow, but they beat the brakes off the Giants. I had really assumed that the Giants would take this game because I thought they would split the season series with the Dallas Cowboys. And it was assumed to me that the Cowboys resting everybody in camp, literally no playing time, this would be the Giants' best opportunity to beat them. And that was not to be, so to speak. And Dallas's defense showed up, obviously, in a big way and won many people their season-long leagues and DFS games because of that. So happy to, you know, say I was wrong on Dallas. They are already ready. Missed on T. Higgins as well. Recommended him, and Higgins didn't catch anything. I'm not worried about that. We'll talk about him this week, but we do need to highlight just that it's one of the challenges that we talked about with Cincinnati was Joe Burrow not getting adequate time in the preseason, and that traditionally, he was starting slow due to injuries. I felt this would continue, and that part did. And unfortunately, even hearing all that and speaking all that to you guys, it still didn't translate to me that T. Higgins would just be blanked, right? And so didn't hit that. San Francisco did better than I expected. I didn't expect Brock Purdy particularly to take good care of the football and to be so ready for his opportunities when they showed up. That's a pleasant surprise to 49er fans. I'll happily eat crow there. I assumed that the Pittsburgh defense would cause more of a problem, causing a tighter game. Not the issue, obviously. The San Fran D did what we thought, but the San Fran offense was just much better than advertised, in my opinion. We hit on Cleveland over Cincinnati. That's a big hit. Not a lot of people had Cleveland winning that game, despite weather or whatever you want to call it. Just really spoke a lot to the game script, and I didn't realize it was going to be raining, but spoke a lot to the game script that we were expecting. We also hit on Hayden Hurst at tight end. Didn't hear anybody else talking about him and literally mentioned him as a name you could bottom out on in tournaments at that 3,000 mark, and it paid off. He was the favorite target of Bryce Young. So if that is reminiscent of – or if that's going to be, you know, sort of, I guess – like a precursor to things to come, then there's another tight end in the mix for the year. So hit on Calvin Ridley too, had him in the cash game lineup. Just really expected that chemistry to be there with him and with Trevor Lawrence. I admittedly thought Christian Kirk might be the second man up, but we'll talk about that too this week. I don't necessarily see that as the case, but as far as Calvin Ridley goes, we hit on that. And we hit on Breece Hall, took a big chance on him in season long. Especially when he's coming back from that injury, you don't know what you're going to get from him, and you're playing a Monday night game, right? And so in some seasons or season-long leagues, I didn't have a backup, anybody else to go to on a Monday, took a chance he would play, and boy, did he, and he went off. And so he looks healthy as he can be. He looks as healthy as Cook, who's coming back from injury too. So we hit on Breece Hall. DFS, we need to talk about that. Not good. We got to get better this week. It was a nice fill it out week, right? I had a lot of picks. Knew we were all over the place just a little bit. Easier to hone down what we're going to do this week and make those picks count a little bit better. But do want to own up to the fact that the DFS didn't hit the cash game. That's the thing that we want to be the easiest to hit. The tournaments, not such a big deal if I don't hit those from week to week, if you don't hit those, because remember, the tournaments are our grand slams. Those are the ones where, you know, it's all the people, all the entries or what have you. And you're trying to, you know, basically be a stadium's worth of people to win a whole bunch of money. That's great, but that's not the bread and butter of what we do in daily fantasy football here. You want to play the double ups, the 50-50, the cash games, single entry, capped amount of participants. We are in control of the environment with which we play. That's the only way we can give these sites our money, is when we can control the environment step by step by step by step, because they have the environment leveled against you. Unlimited amount of user players in the contest, that's leveled against you. unlimited amount of entries per person in the contest, that's leveled against you. Somebody with more money than you can just, you know, pay some nerd to give them an algorithm and then just spit out the top 1,000 lineups and then put all those lineups in the contest. So how would you like to spend your hard-earned cash against that person who has unlimited resources, right? Because he's a banker on Wall Street, he's sitting at his desk, he's got 5 minutes, nothing left to do. No. We're not losing the people like that. So again, the basis of DFS is to hit these cash games. We are going to do better this week. We are going to analyze what we saw, and we're going to move forward. Stats. Let me talk about the stats real quick since we're cleaning up a house. Don't overinvest with just this week one of info. You look at a lot of sites, you hear a lot of info. We're getting a lot of rankings already. This team is ranked so-and-so in defense. This team is ranked so-and-so in man coverage. It is 1 week. Don't get carried away with it. There is usable data. There are teams that you know, we're kind of advertised as we're going to play this type of coverage most of the time. And then they did that on Sunday, right? And so Arizona Cardinals, for example, these are the lessons we can take away. But there are also nuanced game plans that we saw that were specific to just those matchups. And so you don't want to get carried away and say the rankings are what the teams are yet. If you're new to this, we want a quarter of the season. That's roughly week 4, week 5. So then we can really invest in the numbers and really dive down into the data and take what we use with us as like a stamp of approval for the things we're talking about from week to week. Okay, let's talk about trades really quickly. Look, I want to see what you guys think about this trade, or if you think this is fair or not, or why. Side one is trading Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, who is tight end one last week, and Samaje Perine. Side two will be giving up Tyreek Hill. And this is a Javonte Williams owner. So fair trade or not, what do you guys think? I want to put this out there because I offered this trade to somebody in a league that I am in this week. The person, well, put our cards on the table. So I'm the Keenan Allen side. This guy wanted to move Hill, and so he comes into the group chat and he says, you know, Hill is on the block, you know, entertaining serious offers only. First of all, we got to really think about what we hear, what we don't hear in trades. First off, that's a very weak offering. You're not even confident enough in what you're doing to tell me what you want. You didn't even tell the group what you wanted. A real serious offer is like, I'm looking for help at running back. Tyreek Hill is on the block. Real offers only, right? But to just throw a name out there and to be like, send me some offers. You are on fire already, buddy. You looked at your team and you've decided that this is a dumpster fire and I will take any and everything that I can get to fill any and every spot. So you've already negated what you did in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth round because you won't stand by your rankings. Okay, fine. Let's play your game. Tyreek Hill is a sought after player, so I will throw my name in the hat because I have receivers to play with, right? I've got Keenan Allen. I've got, I believe, Mike Evans. I've also got, if I'm not mistaken, in this very same league, Jerry Jeudy, and I may have AJ Brown. This is a I've got AJ Brown, Keenan Allen. I'm blanking on who the third one is. I think it might be one of the guys I mentioned. But the point is, I've got three receivers that I feel comfortable with, right? And so I can move what I would consider my. Oh, it's Metcalf. That's who I have. Metcalf, Allen, and AJ Brown. Those are my three receivers. He has Tyreek Hill. This guy is just thin. Like he's got, you know, the guy in Buffalo at tight end, Kincaid. You know, he's got wide receiver spots missing because he's got a couple injuries already. He doesn't even have somebody in one of his running back spots. So my thought process is, okay, he's giving up Hill, which is a number one. In my deal, he's getting Allen, which is a number one back. Okay, so I'm not drawing you out at wide receiver. You're getting a number one back, although Allen lesser than Hill. Allen didn't do terrible last year, and his outlook for this year is really good. But we know he's had injury concerns. Lesser number one than Hill, but still a number one with a number one coming back. Okay. Samaje Perine, he's the Javonte Williams owner. You're in a Sean Payton offense, like we talked about, where he's going to run both those running backs effectively. And we saw that play out last week, too. Now, you only have Javonte Williams because you didn't cover your handcuffs, and he has an injury that he's trying to get over, too. I was able to snag Perine, so I come back and I put this as a part of the deal. Perine and Allen now. Now you have the second piece of your running back. So if you need another running back, you can have both of these guys in the same backfield and put the hammer down, which we also talked about as a strategy last week. So now, as a show of good faith, I've recorded myself telling you guys these are my favorite strategies, and now I'm lending them to him in return for his best player, in return for one of the best players in the league, I think. Okay. And to sweeten the pot, you don't have a tight end that's viable. Kincaid, you know, it's going to split time with Knox. I know Kincaid's probably the receiver, but I bring you back with Hunter Henry, which, and I have Kittle, and I would have gave him Kittle, but I don't think he would have bit off of that performance last week. So I did give you Hunter Henry, who was tight end one last week. So tight end one from last week, the handcuff to your running back, and a wide receiver one back for a wide receiver one. He rejected it very quickly. So moral of the story here is if you don't think that that's a fair trade, it's because you're looking at the names. You're looking at the today value in real life on Sunday as if you are actually, you know, the owner of the Miami Dolphins. But you're not. You're just the owner of your fantasy team. The value of that player versus what you can get back from me is relative. Sure, there is some true value, Tyreek Hill versus these guys, right? But when you think about fairness in a trade in season-long leagues, am I getting back what I need? So you don't want to give up Tyreek Hill, but what is it that you expect that you're going to give back? Like, I'm just going to give you, okay, so what do you want? Chubb, you know, and a number one wide receiver. Why? Why would I do that if I feel flushed at those positions? Why am I just doing something to help you? So sometimes people will look at a trade and say, I was offered like a trade for a guy wants Chubb and he's trying to give me, you know, Addison and somebody else. Okay. You can't like there's a nuanced way that we do this, okay? And you can't even look at it and say, okay, I'm sending this to my opponent because on paper, this looks close enough. That's not good enough. You're not that savvy. We're all thinking the same way. You've got to get the trade over the hump somehow, is my point. And so my way of doing that, three for one, that fills three needs that he has, clearly. You don't want to do that, fine. But I've got no real reason to throw in, you know, Chubb or Breece Hall. What for? What for? If you don't want to you know, address the problems that you have, and there's nothing I can do to help you out. You just want names for names, and I'm insecure. I'm securing what I have. I only want to get better. That's why I would do the trade, not just to help you get better. So if I can't get better, then I can't do the trade. This trade helps me get better, and this trade helps him get better. So I'm going to stand by this one. Get off my soapbox now. We'll move along so housekeeping can finish up. Thursday night football, you know, no Bradberry is what we got in the report coming in. And so I thought this is a great opportunity in my season-long leagues to switch in Cousins as my starting quarterback. That worked out well. No Bradberry meant Justin Jefferson was going to have a field day. So Cousins had a field day. Hockenson was able to clean up too. You know, so this leads to the bigger question. What is going on with Minnesota? No run game. That's the way you want to attack Philadelphia, even though they got that high-powered offense. A lot of teams are going to have more success running the ball maybe against Philly. We'll have to see how that goes. But they couldn't get anything going there. So is Madison the guy? Is he not? Is there somebody else in-house? I'm looking at the running game this week particularly to see what we can do. Also, just, you know, with the turnovers, what's up with Minnesota? What's going on with you guys? You guys have, you know, had problems holding on to the football a lot within the first 2 weeks. And so I don't see the team taking that division if they can't hold on to the football. If they can figure out how to close these drives out. You gave up too many drives in the, you know, opponent's territory for nothing, for no points. So you got to do something about that. But Minnesota, that is my question to you. What's up with that? That is housekeeping for this week, y'all. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. If we finish housekeeping, then you know what that must mean. It's time to play a little Would You Rather. We're going to go over 12 of the most sought after, should I play this guy or that guy, questions on the Fantasy Pros website. People, thousands and thousands, maybe millions go here. I don't know. I don't check their stats. But very sought after questions, right? So let's address it. First up, Zay Flowers or Isaiah Pacheco. I mean, Zay Flowers had a pretty good week one, and I feel like he will continue to assert himself as a part of this offense. Pacheco is going to have better days, though, and I will say in this scenario, I'm going to go with Pacheco, particularly this week, Kansas City against Jacksonville. With Kelce back, I'm expecting Kansas City to be more towards their end, and Chris Jones, too. I'm expecting Kansas City to be more towards their normal self. If not all the way back, I'm expecting them to be up. I'm expecting them to be running the clock out at the end. So I'm expecting more of a transition towards Pacheco at the end of the game. He is the clear runner. But just be wary. You know, we did see some Edwards-Helaire this past week too. But in this scenario, Zay Flowers, Pacheco. I'm going to take Pacheco. We know Mark Andrews is coming back too. So again, just trying to feel out where is Lamar going to go with his targets, if you will. We don't exactly know because the makeup of the receiving core is so new. So we'll take what we know in this one, Pacheco. Mari Cooper or Tyler Algier. I don't think Atlanta is going to be in many games where they are neutral or leading. That's just the truth. I mean, I feel like that was a big victory for them on Sunday. They upset the Carolina Panthers, in my opinion, because I had Carolina coming out. But the key to Algier's success is not that this is a, you know, tandem committee. I think we still get more Bijan Robinson, but they were ahead, and so he got to burn the clock a little bit. Now, you got Green Bay this week. I don't think they're going to be ahead burning the clock so much, right? And so we can ease off him a little bit, even though everybody else is fully in love with them, and down on Amari Cooper, who we want to get down on, but it was a rain weather game. And, you know, the elements, the team they're playing, everything said run the ball, and so they did. That offense is going to continue to get better. I'm not getting out on Deshaun. I've seen a lot of criticism towards him this week. And again, it was a rain game. Don't know how much you guys wanted him to be doing in that. But I'm not down on them, so I'm taking Cooper. Yes, tough matchup against Pittsburgh on Monday, but in a better spot than Algier. Okay. Moving right along, would you rather play Zay Jones or Brian Robinson Jr.? So Zay Jones is the guy I want to talk about because he's a part of this Jacksonville offense. I assume Christian Kirk would be the other beneficiary of Ridley being back, but it's not the case necessarily. What we see is Christian Kirk is the one coming off of the field. And in those 11s, you have Zay Jones, those personnel packages, you have Zay Jones coming onto the field. Now, we saw Christian Kirk sparingly in the 11 package personnel unless he was giving a break to either Zay Jones or Calvin Ridley. So that says that his path to getting on the field has to be in, you know, the three wide receiver set. But he wasn't even like fully committed to there either. So, and they don't, you know, have to run a ton of that. There's some concern with Christian Kirk, but Zay Jones, that's not going to go away. I think that production was real that we saw. And so, you know, coming up against Kansas City, I really like him this week so much that I'm putting him in my cash game, you know, suggestions, if you will. Now, Brian Robinson on the other side, I you know, it's he has the job. I'm not worried about Gibson, but there is something going on with the play calling. I don't think he can be as effective as he should be. Now, that being said, I am going to go with Robinson because I think Washington's going to have to lean on the run here, and hopefully they figured out it didn't work out when they did it out of the shotgun. Just get under center. I know they're probably worried about the quarterback, the rookie quarterback, getting this guy more comfortable, more time, so he's not rushed. But it just – Robinson was not effective getting the ball out of that scenario. So that's something we got to be thinking about. In this scenario, I'm going to take Robinson, but it's really, really close. Zay Jones not going to have a bad week. Zay Flowers or Breece Hall? I'm going to take Breece Hall. The Jets, especially with Rodgers out now, you're going to have to lean on your run a little bit more if you plan to go with Wilson, as they say, which I don't know how long that's going to last. But regardless of the matchup, I think you've got to be looking at the Jets as a run-first team now, regardless of who they have at wide receiver or what they thought that they wanted to do. I just ultimately think this week they will have way more success trying to run the football as well. So I'm in on Breece Hall this week over Zay Flowers. Jamal Williams, New Orleans running back, or Christian Watson, Green Bay wide receiver. The Saints running back is going to have a bounce back week. Tennessee stout against the run. They were last year. They look like they're going to be stout again. So there's going to be brighter days for the New Orleans running back, in my opinion. Now, Christian Watson, on the other hand, coming in, you know, he's coming back. Dobbs looked like the man. I think Dobbs is probably the number one. And so, you know, Watson coming back, that's good. But, you know, they're going up against Atlanta. I feel like maybe A.J. Terrell does see more Dobbs, so maybe that does open up things for Watson. But I just think this is such a tougher matchup for Green Bay than what they had against the Bears last week. I expect less from that offense. And so I would probably go with Jamal Williams here. Just when I'm thinking about the Saints and that matchup on the ground this week for them versus Carolina, that's going to be a lot softer than this matchup in the air for Green Bay. We saw what Atlanta did to Carolina on the ground. So just think about that, right? Okay. Now, Michael Thomas or David Montgomery? I like David Montgomery. Michael Thomas, I mean, I don't, you know, we're still trying to figure out. It wasn't terrible. He got some catches. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to get there. But again, they've got Olave. They've got Shaheed. They don't need to force it to Thomas, but he's out there. So he's one of three viable options, and we're still trying to figure out where is the attention going first for David Carr. Who is his blanket, right? We don't know. But David Montgomery, we see he has a role. And I really do believe, despite what most people think, most people don't think he has the Jamal Williams role last year because that included passing down work, two-minute drill work, and, you know, all that. There's enough here. And so I'm going with him, David Montgomery. I do think he's going to get the goal line work, which is all I want. I want him to score 10 touchdowns this year. But over these two, I'm taking Montgomery. He's got a better, much better chance to get in the box this week for Detroit against Seattle. Okay, Kendrick Bourne, New England, or Justice Hill, Baltimore. You know, I'm going to go with Justice Hill because the New England wide receivers, there's no order. Like, they're just, you know, they're going to do what they need to do schematically to be effective. Mac Jones can be effective with or without Bourne, depending on the opponent. So I'm not going to fool myself into thinking that Bourne is some tried and true part of the process because he ain't. Justice Hill is going to have to be a part of the process, though, in Baltimore because of the unfortunate injury to J.K. Dobbins. Raheem Mostert in Miami or Puka Nacua for the Rams. So I do believe that you can go with Mostert this week. Just, you know, he's going to get some runs. You got to run the football. Whereas Puka Nacua, I mean, I know he's a little banged up. They're going to play, but San Francisco is a tough defense, as we've seen. They can, you know, be had a little, but I think it's more on the ground as opposed to through the air. So I don't necessarily want to attack them with such a, you know, young core of receivers, Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua, but you've also got Tutu Atwell as well. So you don't necessarily have to fold it into Puka. You also got Tyler Higbee, who should be, you know, again, maybe coming back around this week. So I would take Raheem Mostert here. Just Miami has had New England's number in the Coach McDaniels era here, in the Tua era here. So in the Tyreek Hill era here, he's been killing them. So I think unless New England has figured out something that they could know over the past couple of years, that might happen again. So Raheem Mostert should be running the clock out. Okay, Josh Jacobs or Chris Olave? Josh Jacobs. Talk about it and reload, but Josh Jacobs all day. Chris Olave or Tyler Allgeier? Now, again, Saints with that Carolina you know, matchup. I'm going to say Chris Olave here over Allgeier this week. Should just get more work. Again, Allgeier's success last week was a byproduct of Atlanta being up, I think. So, you know, again, neutral to winning game script is not going to be a part of the secret sauce for them every week. Okay, Cam Akers or Rashid Shaheed. So Cam Akers, no, I'm going to have to go with Shaheed because it's looking more like Kyren Williams than Cam Akers. Cam Akers, again, got runs when the game got away from Seattle and they're trying to run it down a little. But when it was more a competition still, Kyren Williams was mixing in there. So I can't even say that it's Cam Akers' job. We got to take the guy on the field. Rashid Shaheed has packages dedicated to him being on the field. So we'll go with him. And our final would you rather is going to be Zay Jones or Tyler Allgeier. And I will go with Zay Jones here over Tyler Allgeier. So it's just relative, guys. Just like how we said Brian Jones over Zay Jones, but definitely not Allgeier, right? And so hopefully this segment has made some sense and help you guys determine who you would rather on this Sunday.
And now it's time for the process to reload.
All right, moving right along. We already covered Thursday when we were in the intro, so we can get into the Sunday matchups with everybody's favorite segment. Let's kick it off with, why don't we start with Vegas at Buffalo? So Vegas is going to run the football. Buffalo, big problem stopping the run against Breece Hall. We saw Dalvin Cook. I mean, it didn't matter who they would have thrown out there. Vegas is going to run the football. Buffalo historically has been able to be run on, but it doesn't seem like they've been able to shore this issue up. I would not, if I was Vegas, be taking chances on, you know, huge dropbacks with Jimmy G. That's not his style anyway. He's getting rid of it, right? Davante Adams, I think, has a tough matchup this week. Jacoby Myers is banged up. Renfro is going to be in the slot, but I just don't see a ton of success challenging that way. But the run should be there. I don't like the West teams going east for the early matchup. That feels like 10 in the morning for them. So you're like getting ready for this game at 8 a.m., right? Getting up way earlier than that. That's a lot, right? However, the one thing we can say is Vegas is going to run that football and do it effectively. I very much expect Josh Jacobs to have a great day. That's about all I like from Vegas. On the other side of it, though, Buffalo, I do think will do enough to win the game. I think Josh Allen is, you know, primed for a comeback week. This is a mental thing. Get out of your head. You're making the same mistakes over and over again. Now, other teams know that this is a mental thing, and they're going to be forcing you into some of your bad habits. This is going to be, can he overcome? And this is going to be how well that coaching prep has him ready for Sunday. The intangibles are there for them to blow the doors off the Raiders this Sunday. And that's what I'm expecting. I don't know how highly on he's going to be because of recency bias last week. But I think, and I'm playing, and I'm saying, Josh Allen, baby. Gabe Davis in a nice spot. But it's Diggs that's really going to abuse the defender opposite of him on Sunday. Vegas secondary not going to have anything for Stephon Diggs. I don't care how you want to do it. Zone, man, whatever. That's a big, huge mismatch. That's a big, huge mismatch. So I like, Diggs, more of a sure thing, cash game thing. But we can't forget about Gabe Davis or not pay attention to him because he's in a good spot too. And, James, I know a lot of people have James Cook, maybe just for seasonal, man, because they'll get up, I think, and he'll get some run that way. But I'm not expecting the run game to anchor the way that they get up in the game unless you're talking about Josh Allen. Reload. Okay, on the Baltimore at Cincinnati. Baltimore's really banged up is the story of this one. You've got one of your corners out. You've got Williams and cornerback out, Marcus Williams. You've got one of your safeties out. You've got, issues at running back. J.K. Dobbins is out. They are banged up. Baltimore always seems to be banged up, but they're going to do what they always do, next guy up. They've got issues along the line too, so there's some problem there. This is an opportunity for Cincinnati's defense. I think the Cincinnati offense will take a step forward and play better, but they're still going to be getting it together. I think Mixon has another middle-of-the-road type game. Maybe he can get some goal line touches there, maybe two touchdowns on the goal line work. That would be his production, I would think. But I'm more interested in Higgins and Boyd. I think Jamar Chase probably have a tougher day again. Burrow still going to be figuring it out, but I think he can get it to these ancillary guys. I don't know so much about Irv Smith in this one against Baltimore, but I don't necessarily see Cincinnati running away on the ground. I do think that some of the defenders like Roquan Smith showed really well in the run game last week. So if they're going to shore up the run and play a little better there, then we got to force this thing through the air if you're Cincinnati. And like I said, I'm just looking at the ancillary receivers. So really like Higgins, really like Boyd for sure. But the Cincinnati defense is a shock. I think at $3,300 on DraftKings, that's a nice play. Baltimore is limited. Not even just talk about Lamar and the offense being hurt. Not Lamar, but pieces on the offense hurt. So he's getting Mark Andrews, healthy, but he's got this core of receivers that is still figuring its way out. Zay Flowers is obviously a part of this. Beckham trying to figure out where he fits into it. That it didn't seem like there was a lot of continuity there. They had way more problems against Houston than they should, and it's because particularly if you look back at that game, Lamar Jackson has not gotten any better over the course of his career at hitting the passes outside of the numbers. When he hits it inside of the numbers, which is his preferred route to do it, he wants to hit the tight end, and it has to be Andrews. That's one of the most dangerous passes to throw in the NFL. That's where the defense wants you to go. That's why he runs so much. I'm just seeing that we sometimes wait for this offense to take a progression. They change coordinators. They change playbook styles. But I'm telling you from looking at last week, they're trying to fit a square piece in a round hole. I don't think necessarily they have enough to win this week. Cincinnati is a better team is what it looks like to me right now. Lamar probably not even the better quarterback. So I want to say that there are certain defensive players where they grade out a little better. But on the whole, Cincinnati's a better team. They're at home. They're going to be hungry off of what they feel is an upset loss to Cleveland last week. I don't think they're going to have Baltimore walk in and beat them at home here. Reload. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Touched on it a little bit already. I'm expecting the good guys, the boys are back in town. Yes, that's right. Kelce. So that means that Pacheco is going to be more in a greater value because Kansas City is going to be older, what we're used to is what I think. And so if they get away with it, they get ahead, then, we can run the clock out a little bit with Pacheco. And so he's more valuable there down the stretch towards the end of the game. but I really like all those pieces. The defense gets a little better with Chris Jones being back, but I think Jacksonville is still good enough to press the issue there. So I don't have a problem with Lawrence. I don't have a problem with Evan Ingram this week. I think that's a nice tournament play, as he'll have to help move and matriculate the ball down the field against this defense. Maybe you take it chunk by chunk. Etienne should be fine. I'm not exactly keen on him, you know, in DFS, but, you know, I don't have a problem with it. And season long, definitely feel great about that. I'm not worried about the big bulky kid taking the goal line touches. He looks like a crater out there, though. That's crazy. But no, I'm not worried about Tank. I'm not worried about that. Etienne is a dynamic runner. Each and every drive, he can run up and down the field. And so Tank's not taken away from that. Okay. Even though he will use some goal line touches, because it looks like they park a Buick at the goal line when that kid lines up. That's crazy. His muscles are bigger than like my face, my head, my body, everything. That's crazy. I don't even know what you feed a human to get them to look like that. Anyways, so, you know, Jacksonville will be able to run their offense, but I don't think as effectively or as, you know, efficiently as Kansas City. So even though Jacksonville's at home, I've got them losing this football game. Now, Ridley will have another great game. I think, you know, Zay Jones shows up, but I would be worried about Christian Kirk. I think Evan Ingram is in play. And Etienne, I'm just staying away from DFS just because, like I said, I'm thinking they're going to play catch up. So there's not going to be this opportunity to just meter it out with runs, even though he very well can. Just think about what we see with Kansas City. They never finish with terrible numbers defensively as a unit against the run, but that's because they force you to pass so much. You have to abandon the run, or else you're facing a losing game early on. So I'm thinking that's more of what we see here in this Kansas City victory. Reload. Next one. The Chargers, I always want to say Clippers, the Chargers headed to Tennessee to face the Titans. Okay, we see that Eckler's banged up, so you got to think Kelly, but also Tennessee is tough against the run, as we saw last week against Jamal Williams and the Saints. So I think this is a scenario where Herbert and companies had to force the issue more. That's where you want to attack Tennessee, is through the air. I like Allen a lot this week. I think in tournaments, Mike Williams is fine. And season long, he's fine. You know, I don't really want to touch the tight end, Gerald Everett, but I like those guys for a go. I think Herbert is a go. That's the better way to move the football here. Now, they're going to have to, because on the opposite side, King Henry will be able to do his thing. I'm assuming he will be able to chunk off some runs, I expect. And then also the Tennessee offense, I really like Tannehill's ability. He was looking for Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins, a lot last week. Okay. They had pretty good coverage against him. You know, that's, you know, New Orleans, they play real well coverage wise. Marshawn Lattimore played better than we expected, but they were still going to Hopkins a lot in a very, I think he had double digit targets in a very tough matchup. This is nowhere near as tough a matchup. And so I would say all systems go for him. And I like Treylon Burks. So in a tournament, we could do the 3-man stack with Tannehill. But I like those guys to show up. And I do think that they went at home, I think, for the Chargers again, early game going out east. It's going to be a lot to overcome if you don't have Eckler. If you have Eckler, that does make it more of a 50-50 sort of a thing, just because, not because of the running, but he's a pass catcher, right? And so, but the thing is, does Kellen Moore really account for that in his type of an offense, right? And so I'm going to say, you know, this is probably just a bad matchup for the Chargers, and I'm going to take Tennessee at home. Reload. Green Bay going on the road to Atlanta. So Green Bay in Atlanta. Green Bay looks better than I think they are because of the Chicago game. Atlanta probably looks better than I think they are because of the Carolina game. So we're somewhere in the middle. This one, I think Atlanta is not going to win. Green Bay is going to go on the road and get the victory here. I think for Atlanta, the road through the air is going to be very tough again this week. If you're Atlanta, London, Pitts, you guys are in trouble. This secondary, I mean, it would be Pitts, right? But he's just yet to show up to the party. The secondary, I think, is not going to have an issue dealing with London. You've got Jair Alexander out there patrolling. That's going to make life very, very difficult. Now, if you are Green Bay, Jones is banged up. We know he has the hamstring thing from last week. If he plays, that's great. But if he doesn't, you want to play A.J. Dillon in all formats and feel real good about that. DFS, all that, right? They're going to split the time if Jones plays. But I almost prefer Dillon even if Jones plays, just because with the hamstrings, it's early in the season. You don't want to, push it too much. I like the idea that this could be a Dillon week just to make sure we don't have any issues with, Aaron Jones and that hamstring. Now, if you remember last week, Atlanta had issues stopping the run against Carolina. I think Green Bay is a better run team than Carolina, so I expect them to be able to assert themselves on the ground. Now, through the air, I think it's going to be tougher for Green Bay too. Atlanta also better through the defending the pass. And so A.J. Terrell, probably going to be, locking horns with Dobbs a little bit, if not all the time. And so that does kind of open up things a little bit for Watson. But I'm just thinking for Green Bay, I like Musgrove, the tight end, more as the secondary piece. And I just like the run game. I think Green Bay, again, runs into a tougher team. So there's not going to be this chance to just open it up and go all crazy, I don't think. They're going to have to play more conservative, rely on the defense, play a closer game. But they'll be able to beat Atlanta. Atlanta, for their side, they're going to do what we saw them do last week, rely on that run. Robinson's in play. I don't think Algier is in play just because there won't be any garbage time, touches and stuff like that. But Atlanta playing a marketably better team. Green Bay goes on the road and gets this victory. Reload. Seattle going to Detroit. Guys, I love golf here because he showed well on the road in Kansas City. And now they come back home. And he's traditionally been better at home. So we like golf. I do think that there is an opportunity for him to play well against this Seattle secondary. Tariq Woolen, Pro Bowler from last year, just got used and abused last week. I don't see Seattle as being able to slow down Amon-Ra St. Brown. And so I've got him penciled in as a very good play this week. Cash games, you can play him. Love him as a pick. Now, as far as the offense goes, Gibbs, I think, does get a little more involved this week. I like Gibbs. I like Montgomery. I think for DFS purposes, whatever they're providing, we'll be able to get from somewhere else for cheaper. I'm not worried there, but in season long, you can feel good about it. Of the two, I still prefer Montgomery for what I believe to be the goal line touches. But I like this Detroit defense against Seattle. I think that's promising. And so this looks like a winnable game for them. Now, for Seattle, like I said, they're going to have to put points on the board because their defense just doesn't look as good on the back end as they once did. Now, it does look good up front with the addition of Bobby Wagner. And so, again, I'm just not overly impressed with the idea of what the Detroit run game is going to be able to do, but they should be able to get the ball out through the air, and that's the way to victory. Laporta showed well last week, and I think he's in play again this week. I think he has a 90% chance of scoring a touchdown. Now, for the Seattle side of the ball, though, they're going to have to keep up if they want this. I do think that there are holes in the Detroit secondary. It wasn't that they played really well last week. As we saw, the Kansas City players drop some passes, just some open stuff that they should have caught. I don't think that's going to happen this week. I think that a lot of these guys skated last week, and it's going to show up this week. Lockett, for sure, you can feel good about it, but it's really DK Metcalf. He's got a mismatch against his defender that he should see most of the time, and I just think that if you're smart, get the ball to him, right? That's what you need to do. So DK Metcalf in play for sure. I like the tight ends, but they use them interchangeably. So you can't even say Disley because they might use Fant. You can't say Fant because they might use Disley. But that position is good for Seattle this week. So if you just need somebody who's going to be standing around scoring a touchdown, one of those guys probably can do it if you just need that space for whatever reason, whatever's happened to you. Seattle, let's realize that they lost to the Rams last week, you guys. I don't think I'm being far-fetched by saying they're going to go on the road and lose here against Detroit. Reload. Indianapolis at Houston. First off, C.J. Stroud might not play for Houston. He's questionable. I feel like he does go more than he doesn't, but if he doesn't go, just know Davis Mills is in. And if Davis Mills is in, then you got to go back to thinking about Nico Collins, who he had a thing with last year. And that should be no problem because the Indianapolis secondary doesn't look very good. Probably couldn't stop a runny nose with a bunch of tissue. So Houston, I like, you know, that. Now, if it's Stroud, though, maybe a little different. I think Dell would be interesting if it was Stroud. He's getting Mechie back, John Mechie, this week. I believe in his physical ability. I've been watching him since college. I'm going to be very interested in seeing how he mixes in because I know he might not be high on the depth chart right now, but when he gets out there and showcases his physical skills in game, it's going to be hard not to put him ahead of some of these other guys. Now, I couldn't do more than say, you know, millionaire maker guest pick, right? And so I'm not investing money in it. But those are the things that I'm looking for. Pierce is in a good spot, though. I've got no problem with that. I think Pierce, they're going to have – D'Amico Ryan's understanding. You want to play defense. You want to run the football. And they tried to assert those things last week against the Ravens. They will have better success asserting those things this week against Indianapolis. Indianapolis looks like they have a good quarterback in Richardson who just doesn't have a lot of help. Pittman did what he could, but outside of that, it was crickets from everybody else, everywhere else. Deion Jackson was very bland, very blah. He got the attention and the touches, just didn't do much with it. Zach Moss is back this week. We'll see what he can do with it. I like that as a free square space in DFS. And of course, in seasonal, if you need that running back spot, that's the guy. The poor performance of Deion Jackson last week almost ensures that we get to see more of Moss in the feature role. So we're okay there. I think Indianapolis can go on the road and win this one. Now, I know they don't have a lot offensively outside of Pittman, but Houston, you know, they're a good defense. I don't know. Actually, guys, I want to change that right away. If Stroud plays, Houston can win this football game. If Stroud doesn't play, I think Indianapolis defense plays better, even though I don't think that Mills is terrible. Mills is a great backup QB, in my opinion. So I don't think you just mail it in because, you know, he's the QB. I think it's a different set of challenges. I think that version of the offense, you know, may have some issues with the rush. Stroud, though, if he plays, that can make things a little bit more interesting. But I guess if I want to get off the fence and just, you know, stick my chest out and take a pick, I'll say Houston at home off the strength of their defense. I'll say Richardson on the road and, you know, against a proven defensive coach, D'Amico Ryans, who knows what's up. I don't think he's going to let this rookie QB go in and beat him. Reload. Chicago at Tampa Bay. Okay, guys. My fellow Bear fans, just relax. I don't think they're as bad as what they looked. They do look real bad, but I don't think they're that bad. Green Bay, obviously the better team. I had Chicago winning that game. We see that there's a lot of deficiencies, but they can take steps to get better, and I don't want to just poo-poo on the Bears. It'd be too easy to do it. I'm not going to overly promote them either as a hometown favorite of mine. What I am going to say is they are not as bad as what people think. Did they play bad last week? Yes, they did. Do they have real problems up front? Yup, they got pushed around. However you want to look at it, they got pushed around up front. So this week, I think Rashad White running the ball is interesting for Tampa Bay. That's something that if you in season long need somebody to fill in, go for it. DFS, I don't think we need to get there, but that's the path to victory for Tampa Bay. Run the football with him. Take the pressure off of Baker Mayfield and the offense. Now, Mike Evans, I do like. Godwin, sure, maybe a little less, but Evans for sure. Chicago just couldn't do anything with Green Bay, and they really only had Dobbs last week. And so this is a much better unit with many more pieces, and they seem like they could put it together timing-wise against Minnesota last week. And I don't think the Bears are nearly as good of a unit as that Brian Flores defense is for Minnesota. So I just see Tampa Bay being able to attack. Chicago's got to prove which way you want to be better at, right? And so maybe a little stiffer on the ground. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I would not be afraid to play White. And, again, I would feel most confident in Mike Evans above all else. On the Chicago side of things, I'm out on Khalil Herbert. He's small anyway, and I think that's a great way to get hurt in the NFL. He you know, sharing the run with Johnson last week, Roschon Johnson. I don't want to get involved in any of that. Tampa Bay stout against the run, as we saw last week. So I'm out on that. So you would have to pass. So you're looking at Fields, getting it to Moore. I mean, maybe Mooney this week. I think Moore gets a fair amount of attention, but I just don't think this is a spot for the Bears to go on the road and win. Tampa Bay should win this football game. I think the passing offense showcases itself, and maybe the defense plays a little bit better than they did last week. But Tampa Bay has a serious chance to get to 2-0. I'm going to take them in this one. Reload. The Giants going to Arizona. So, there's nothing cute about it. Arizona's a bad football team. Washington's not great, but they're a little better, right, than Arizona. Arizona's got all kinds of problems. So the thing about Arizona is they ran the football, so you want to say, oh, you could run Connor, right? Nope. The Giants actually didn't do terrible against Pollard last week. Despite being blown out in that game, more of their problems were through the air. So, Arizona, they want to test it through the air. You could try it if you want to. I just don't think there's a lot there. I do think the Giants will be tough on the run up front. So Connor is going to get the reps, but I don't see them being very fruitful. What are we saying? In rough translation, play the Giants defense. That's good in seasonal. That's good in daily. They are a player this week. They can get turnovers, I think, too. But the Giants defense, I think, leads the way. I want Saquon Barkley to take a step forward. I can't pay for it in DFS. I don't think I miss it if I don't pay for it. But I want to see him take that step forward this week in a matchup that is more than winnable. Now, the thing about this Arizona defense is they tend to be a little better against the run versus the pass also. So he's going to, like I say, take a step forward, but I can't see him paying off 8K in the DFS world. If you have him in seasonal, don't feel bad. Just play him and feel great. Danny Dimes and that passing offense is going to have to lead the way. I just don't know who steps up from there. Waller's going to give it a go. I like Waller if he plays, but I'm not going to invest in any of that till I see it, just because you're not going to have to go and do much to win this game. I think the Giants defense can mostly win this game on their own, so I'm not going to get overly invested in players that don't, it'll be there. Victory for the Giants. Reload. San Fran, the Niners going to L.A. to face the Rams. The Bayside boys coming down to SoCal to face the Rams. The Rams probably feeling real good off that divisional victory off of Seattle last week, but that ain't going to hold up this week, boys. I got San Francisco's defense taking care of business here. The offensive line is going to have their hands full trying to keep Stafford upright, and you better, because this dude is one concussion away from hanging it up. I would be real worried about something like that this week. As far as, the Rams offense, we saw Puka Nacua. What most people don't realize, though, as we spoke about earlier, is Tutu Atwell, same mirror production, but you're not hearing anything about him, right? So if you spent a lot on the fab budget, the waiver wire, whatever, bringing in Puka, and then Tutu is still out there, poo-poo on you. You could have got the same production for free. We're just chasing production, not names, especially when they're so young. Just chase the production. Okay. That being said, I'm not in on either of those guys this week because it's a much tougher matchup. Kyren Williams, play it out of necessity and seasonal. DFS, we don't need to go with any Rams other than Higbee. If you want to play Higbee, I got no problems with that. I think Checkdown City is the exit for the Rams this week. Other side of the football, San Francisco, I think Brock Purdy's going to play better. Now, you got to keep in mind, the Rams do have Donald on the line, but we saw TJ Watt last week, so I think Purdy can play well. I think he can lead this offense. McCaffrey can lead this offense. Deebo Samuels generally carves up the Rams, but Brandon Ayuk is in a great place too. So all of these pieces are very much in play for me. I don't think I have any Ayuk in season long or in daily, but I may have to revisit that because I just feel like anything they want to do is in play. The reason why I didn't put him as a part of my lineups is because I feel so strongly about the San Francisco defense, which looks prime after last week, that I just worry how much does the offense have to do or actually need to do, right? And so that's the reason why I fade them, not because I don't think they're in a great spot. But the true star here is probably, as I say, the 49er defense. They should be able to go on the road and help secure this victory. 49ers will be 2-0, and the Rams will be luckily 1-1. And for them, you want to have your young guys continue to show well, continue to take a step forward. That's a big victory for them in this week, but I don't think the victory is going to be on the scoreboard. Reload. Jets at Dallas. So talked a little bit about the Jets run game earlier. Breece Hall, and this is the way you attack Dallas. Run the football. So both Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook going to have to be a part of the recipe this week because Dallas has a fierce pass rush. We saw how great the defense looked last week. They will make you turn it over. We see we have Zach Wilson. I know he didn't play terribly, but he didn't play great. You know, Peyton Manning was visibly disgusted at seeing him having to play. That's not going to hold up all day against Dallas. And so I think if you're the Jets, you got to run the football. You got no choice but to run that football, try to keep the game close, take some of that clock off is what you need to do. That's the biggest thing for the Jets. Can your defense show up? Can you run the football? And those few pass opportunities you got, you're going to take advantage of them. Ultimately, I think they're going to be overpowered, though. Dallas defense, come up with some game plan to stop the run. That's what I'm looking at for you this week. Because Buffalo couldn't do it. They got carved up. What can you do? I'm looking at Dallas thinking, the Jets defense is pretty good, too. So on this side of the football, Tony Pollard is going to need to run, too. This team needs to run as well if you want to attack the Jets. They got some junkyard dogs. They got good secondary. I think Lamb is going to be stifled this week. You know, maybe Gallup sees more attention, but, you know, these guys are in trouble if they can't run the football. I think that this game, you know, doesn't necessarily have to hit the under, but it's going to take Dallas a while to put points on the board. I think the defense will lead the brigade again. I think the defense can score again for sure. But I like Tony Pollard. I think Prescott finds his guys here and there, but it doesn't have an incredible day. I just think the run game and the defense lead the way for Dallas. And they, you know, come away with the victory. Now, they don't look rusty, obviously, as the last week. They beat the brakes off the Giants. But this is a much better defense than the Giants. Dallas has enough to win, but they're not going to look as spectacular as they did last week. Reload. Washington at Denver. Washington, I hope you feel good. This is going to be the end of your undefeated streak. Now, they do get Young back on the line, which is great. So now you've got, you know, most of what you thought you would always have on defense. It's taken them years to have all these guys together and healthy. Now you got it. Okay, great. So you got Washington healthy. I think for Denver, what this translates into is trouble for Russ if he doesn't get the ball out quickly. Trouble for that O-line if they don't protect him. I could see both of those things not happening. I could see turnovers coming off that. So with that in mind, Denver's going to have to run it more. I don't think Sean Payton's going to have a problem with that. Denver will run it more. Sean Payton will run both running backs. Javonte Williams, Samaje Perine, both in play. I like them a lot. They're going to get Jerry Jeudy back in action. But again, these are tougher matchups this week. So Jeudy and Sutton, you know, I'm less in on them. Troutman, I like him this week at tight end. That's a really nice pick. I think he could be catching a touchdown in the end zone. I really like that as a preferred play. But it's the run game for Denver and their defense that's going to lead the way. Washington on the other side, what can they do? Run the football if you can. You know, Robinson, Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. I'm out on Gibson. Robinson, if you want, fine. Because that's the path of least resistance against Denver. Run it, right? Now, they're going to have to pass because they're going to be behind. Now, we do know that they will get Terry McLaurin back. Scary Terry's going to play, but he's banged up. That leg's a little banged up. He's going to play. He's dealing with turf toe is what it is. I just think that he has a tougher matchup on his side. He's banged up anyway. Jahan Dotson makes a lot of sense. Curtis Samuel's out there, and he didn't have a bad week last week, but I can't get that deep, I don't think. I will pay attention to him this week and see what happens, but I don't think I get that deep this week. Jahan Dotson, I got no problems with that in DFS world, especially for tournaments. I don't know for seasonal if you need to get there yet. Washington will have to be on their P's and Q's, and Denver makes too many mental mistakes after what I saw last week, and they will falter. They're going to give up a sack, a turnover. Russ will do it. They haven't quite hit that Peyton level of excellence yet, so we'll see if they can take a step forward this week, but they should be able to win this game and get to 500 at home. Reload. And we get to Sunday night, Miami and New England. Miami and Tyreek Hill have had New England's number. Bill has not been able to contain him. I mean, last year they held him to 150 yards in the two games. That's about all they could do with him. But you know, you've got Waddle on the other side too. There's a lot of dangerous pieces to this Miami offense. I think, you know, Belichick and company are going to have their hands full trying to slow them down. Wherever they try to seal it up, it's going to, you know, come out in other places, basically. But if it's me, I'm taking Tua. And I do believe that you can just, you know, if you season long, just play, you know, Waddle and Hill and feel happy. But I think just one of them goes off, not the both. New England will be capable of shutting down some parts of what Miami wants to do, just not everything. But Miami on the road, I think they're going to be feeling better about themselves. Defensively, though, they need to figure out a way to stop the run. I do like Stevenson, Ramon Stevenson, this week. I think he has a great chance to kind of slow the game down for New England. Don't get into the shootout. They'll want to kind of control it that way. I like Hunter Henry. I like Stevenson. You know, these are the guys, especially with Miami's familiarity with Gesicki. So maybe, you know, maybe not so high on him this week and more high on Hunter Henry. But as far as the New England receivers go, I don't think you need to get crazy involved in any of those guys. Mac Jones had a great week last week against New England. Philadelphia. That's pretty impressive. If you have some interest there, sure, if you need to do that. It's a Sunday night game, so it doesn't really matter for the DFS slate that I would be playing. But, yeah, I got no problems with Mac Jones based off of what he did last week. And Philly wasn't as banged up as they was this week, so that's more impressive to me. And they would, by all accounts, need to keep up because you're playing Miami, and I expect Tua to be able to do his thing. At the end of the day, too much sauce out there. Miami will have too many weapons for New England to effectively shut all of them down. And so I just think there's going to be somehow, some way, a mistake. Miami, you know, maybe New England keeps it close for a while, but Miami will win that football game on the road. Reload. Now we get to Monday. We've got two games Monday. New Orleans at Carolina. New Orleans on the road going to Carolina. It's a big bounce back game for Carolina. I don't know that they will be able to. We saw some good things. We saw some bad things from Bryce Young. We saw him make some turnovers, guessing, you know, that some holes would close a lot less quicker than they did. That's life in the NFL, baby. It comes fast. But the run game did support him, so you've got that. He's got Terrence Marshall back this week, so he's got his full complement of receivers as well as his tight end, Hurst. Now, Hurst is going to have a worse week this week against New Orleans. I think New Orleans is better suited to play against the pass, and so I think, you know, that defense is in play. Carolina is going to have a tougher game trying to pass the ball, so you've got to rely on the run. You got to rely on Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, too. He got some run last week. I think we'll see more of that this week. Both of these guys will get the run, but we do like both of them. Now, for the New Orleans side of things, in addition to their defense, I will say – the passing offense is in play, but so much is the running too. So we like Jamal Williams, and then I like Olave, Shahid. I mean, all these guys, you know, they can adapt to whatever Carolina throws their way and have weapons to produce. I think the clear-cut better team after last week is New Orleans. I think Carolina has to take a step forward and play better, but there's something particularly about the run that I'm worried that they won't be able to stop. Williams will set the pace, and then that will be the thing that opens it up down the field for those wide receivers. Carolina drops this one and gets themselves to 0-2, I believe, on Monday night. In our final shot, let's make it a good one, and we reload for Monday evening. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Okay, Pittsburgh is a mess. They looked about as bad as I thought they were going to look offensively, defensively. They looked worse than I expected. I think they will show up defensively better this week. I think they will have a better effort in terms of the rush. TJ Watt looked like TJ Watt. Let's build around that. Pittsburgh, run the football. You know, Cleveland's bringing that pass rush. So you got your Najee Harris and you got your Jalen Warren. He's going to get his touches too. Let's get them both involved. Freiermuth, let's get him involved. I don't trust those wide receivers. You know, Deontay Johnson banged up. You've got other guys out there. You could play around with it if you want to, guys. I'm staying away from that, but I like Freiermuth. I think we got to make things simple for you know, the Pittsburgh offense. And there's not a lot to like about it, but I do like the running back and the tight end and the defense. Now, Cleveland, on the other hand, I think for them, do what you do. Run with Chubb, right? That's what you do. You run with Chubb. I think also you got to look at some of the things that went wrong with Pittsburgh last week. Ayuk was able to just go off, right? And so that Cleveland run, offense altogether looks a little bit more interesting. I think they are capable and competent. But here's the thing, though. Tomlin don't lose at home when he's an underdog that often on national TV. Like he's a very underrated coach in terms of when he's an underdog, getting that victory and coasting to it, not coasting to it, but grinding it out, right? Like they do well at home against teams they shouldn't have. This is that scenario to where I think Cleveland riding high after last week. There's a lot riding on this week. You get to 2-0, potentially separate yourself in the division. Now, that remains to be seen because this is a tougher test than most people are thinking. That being said, as bad as I feel about this Pittsburgh offense, I think they keep it very, very close, but I am going to give it to Cleveland. I'm going to say they do just enough to win. I think there's going to be a turnover. Myles Garrett and company going to be wreaking havoc on the line. I think that's the difference maker in this game. But it's going to be a lot closer than what people think. Pittsburgh is going to be a salty 0-2, and Tomlin won't like that, but it won't be like they lay down and died. They will lose that game, though. That's our reload for this week, guys. That's just the game, how I see it shaping up, the game scripts that I see carrying forward this week.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
And finally, we'll end it up with our DFS picks. Get you guys out of here. I was able to narrow it down this week. I feel like we got much more narrower versions of what we need to go with. And so if we're taking a look at cash game quarterbacks, I'm going to give you three, like a more expensive one, then a middle price range, and then a low end. Okay. Josh Allen, $7,900. That's the guy I'm playing, and I'm pairing him with Diggs, just to tell you. I expect big things from them versus the Raiders, and I don't want to miss out. But Jared Goff at $6,200 is the middle cash game option. At home, against the Seattle defense, they don't look great. Willen doesn't look great. I think load them up. And then low-end Ryan Tannehill, pair him with DeAndre Hopkins because he can pay off $5,000. He can pay that off in an offensive temperature that is conducive to passing the football, right? So I like those guys for my cash game quarterbacks. Tournaments, we got a couple of suggestions. Pay up for Mahomes. I think 8,300, some people are going to be leery because of the performance last week, but he's got Kelsey back. There's no reason not to do it. It's about as cheap as he's going to be. Let's do it. Fields, $7,600. I told you the Bears probably not going to win that game, but I think Justin Fields can do what he did last year, which is run around, get crazy production out of nowhere. You know, I think that's literally not impossible of a thing to have happen. I could see Tampa Bay allowing that to happen, basically. So I want to take a shot on him in tournaments at $7,600. And then I'll take Herbert, $7,000 as a tournament play, too, for the reasons we talked about. You're going into an environment where I think it's just much more conducive for them to pass. Tennessee stuffing the run. Your running back is banged up anyway. So Herbert's going to have to throw for better or worse. So at 7K, we want to take advantage of that. All right, wide receivers. Now, for the cash games, I got Stephon Diggs at 8K because I'm pairing him with Allen. Simple as that. Amon-Ra St. Brown, we mentioned him, $7,800. Again, you know, Woolen looked like a liability last week. Seattle's defense doesn't look tough. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown can get the job done. He looked great last week. Keenan Allen at $7,100. If you're playing Herbert, you're pairing him with him. Herbert looked really good last week. Oh, I'm sorry. Allen looked really good last week. DeAndre Hopkins, $6,700. Soft, too soft a price for that guy, that talent, getting that many looks last week, that many targets last week in that tough of a matchup. Again, coming back with a softer matchup this week, those same targets can translate into big production. Mike Evans at $6,200, softer matchup for, again, a guy that should toast this Bears secondary. And then Zay Jones, $47, $4,700. That's going to help us make this whole cash game lineup work. That is a guy that should be seeing production based off of Trevor Lawrence and company having to play keep up with the Chiefs and ultimately being in on the losing game script. So probably have to throw to the end. I like that. Tournaments. What are we doing in tournaments? Okay. The top of things, we can play Calvin Ridley. It's $7,200, no. That's why he's in the tournament. It's just he just costs a little more. So we're still going to play him, but it's going to go tournament because he costs more, so he has to do more to pay off his upside. So it just makes sense that it's a tournament play. DK Metcalf, 7K. I like that. That's almost a cash game play this week. You know, I really think he can dominate his matchup. And then T. Higgins at $6,400 has a bounce back week. I don't think many people are going to be looking at him in a game where that Baltimore secondary is a little banged up. Gabe Davis, $5,800. Very interested in the comeback. So again, I've told you I played Allen, you know, pairing with Diggs and cash games, but I'll have a tournament lineup where I'll put those two with Davis. So I'll have Davis and Diggs and Allen, and I'll just build around that basically. Great value of $5,800. And Mike Williams at $5,700. Chargers, again, great value. Tournament play for sure, but really good value. So I'm going to be stacking that the same way. Herbert, Allen, Williams. Johan Dotson, who we just mentioned in the reload segment, $4,900 for the guy that I think is going to see the most targets on a trailing Washington offense. That, you know, in a secondary that he can get the football from. So I like that. And then Treylon Burks, $4,500. Again, easiest path to resistance, passing that football, and DeAndre Hopkins can't catch them all, so Burks will be in there. And then I actually have a couple of deep sleepers if you're playing like millionaire maker games and stuff like that. Tyler Boyd, $3,800, and then Dell from Houston, $3,200. Dell only if Stroud plays. If Stroud doesn't play and Mills plays, then I would not play Dell. But these are just for those deeper tournaments. You guys looking for somebody that maybe nobody else is thinking about that could rock your whole lineup. I think that's it. Tight ends for cash games. We got Kelsey, $7,600. And again, if I, you know, I'm going to do a Mahomes and Kelsey lineup and just work with that, guys, and pair it from there. You know, there's a lot of pay down options to make that work. And so, you know, we've got limited options too. So you can really, if you're listening, focus in tournaments, who are the guys you pay down with, right? We just mentioned two of them, Dotson and Burks, right? Like, listen, this is how you put together a winning tournament based on the cash allowance in the production. So Kelsey is $7,600 cash game. Tyler Higbee, $4,600 cash game. You know, it's going to be pressure coming from San Francisco. I think that Stafford's going to have to get the ball out quickly. Higbee's the guy. I know last week we said that, and then he went Atwell and Puka Nacua, but this is the week that it goes back to Higbee. And I think a lot of people were burned last week, so they may not want to get in on it. We'll get in on it. And then Musgrave, $3,200 cash. You know, Green Bay, again, great play. I think great play. And a tougher matchup for them. That's the guy that'll be the blanket, security blanket for Love, in my opinion. Now, tournament tight ends, Darren Waller, $5,500 for the Giants. I like him just because, again, it's unsure about the wide receivers out there, right? I know people will say, well, it's Slade or it's Wendell. I don't know. And you don't know either. But Waller, if he plays, has proven in the past he's got hands he can catch. And I like the new change of scenery for him. I like Jones, so I like that. Evan Ingram, $4,800, tournament play. Should be some points in that one. And he's a part of this offense. Trevor Lawrence looks for him when he needs some assurance. So we like him at $4,800. And then you got Laporta if you want to pay down at $3,900 for Detroit. Remember, that's the guy that says he's going to score a touchdown. All right, running backs, Josh Jacobs, $7,100. Lock it in. It's the only thing that they can do to win that football game or come close to it against the Bills. And so they saw what the Jets did. Teams are always looking for how can we get one on the Bills. They're so tough usually defensively. Look, he's going to run wild, and I'm here for it. That's cash game. Breece Hall, $5,900, also cash game. What else they got? You saw how well he worked last week, guys. It was a tough matchup, but they were able to run the football anyway. I think, again, in another tough matchup, they're going to be able to run the football. It's just as simple as that. I like Damian Pierce at $5,600 cash too. Even more so if the quarterback doesn't play. Even more so if Stroud sits out. Now you got to be forced to lean on that defense running back sort of mentality. And then Zach Moss, $4,700. Deion Jackson didn't do anything last week, so we don't have to worry about him. At $4,700, this is how we're going to be able to pay for some of those more expensive pieces. And then for our tournament running backs, Bijan Robinson, $7,900, has to be a tournament because of that price. A little harder to pay off, and so if it was cheaper, we'd go cash game. But we still want to play him. We just have to put him in tournaments. Tony Pollard, same thing, $7,500 because of that price tag, but he's in a very good spot, and we have to get exposure to him. Derrick Henry, same thing, $7,400. You know, his role is cemented. You all know that. He's King Henry. So at that price point, you don't need to not play him. I was worried about him starting the season off slow, but no, we got some good stuff from the film last week, and it looks like he's already ready. So let's go ahead and use that right now. And then AJ Dillon, $5,900. Now, this is especially if you see Jones don't play. Be smart. You know, if Jones doesn't play, that becomes a cash game play right there, right? And so, but at tournaments, $5,900, we like Dillon. If Jones does play at $5,900, even in tournaments, I don't know why you don't play Breece Hall. So I have Dillon there as the caveat to what we see and do with Jones, basically. And then Brian Robinson, $5,200 from Washington. Again, saving salary with the guy that we know is going to have to get touches. And that is going to be where they find most of their production success, I believe, is on the ground. So those are those picks. And then defensively, you could, of course, play the Niners and the Cowboys, $4,100 and $4,000, right? That everybody knows that. But where can we get more clever? I got three picks for you. Denver, $3,900. I do think that we can get away with playing this because I think that this defense is still going to be better than most people are thinking. And Washington is a very bad team. Denver's at home. I like it. I like it a lot for $39. And then the Giants at $3,800 against Arizona. Again, we called that out. That's a great play. But identifying Cincinnati because of these Baltimore injuries is also very important. And so that will be your tournament defense. Guys, that's what I have for you this week. A little longer than usual. Good luck to you. We'll come right back here next week and talk about what we saw. www.tigerbombsae.com. You can watch this show there, listen to this show there. If you want to search for us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Facebook, X, Twitter, any of that stuff, Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. Search that way. We'll come up. You can like, subscribe, whatever the appropriate thing is, so you can catch the new episodes. Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.